up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, welcome to Jack and Jack. Mr. Kevin O'Neill in a second. We have Mr. Matt Weber and Jack Silverman working the board. SP Futures down 32. Dow Futures down 276. NASDAQ Futures down 104. Yeah. What the bleep? After a nice little rally yesterday, we came back after two down days. I actually thought we might have... follow through on that, but no, it's hard for me to imagine even the thinking of the POTUS. He's just too far ahead of me. Listen to these headlines, Kevin. This is a new low, and we've had many lows. North Korea executed envoy over Trump Kim summit. Kim Hyak Choi was executed with four other North Korean foreign ministry officials because the summit failed. And he's the guy that Trump loves. Dow set to drop 270 points after Trump threatens new tariff on Mexico. Trump says U.S. will impose 5% tax on all Mexican imports June 10th. Now, this is what, the 1973 Security Act? It says that because we have a national security issue with Mexico, let's see. Uber stock rises, net losses match expectations. And not to be denied... Harvard study, people who use dating apps such as Tinder are more likely to have eating disorders. What the hell? Kevin?
Which comes first, the eating disorder or the dating app?
I don't know. I mean, of course, that would be...
I want to understand the cause and effect here.
Well, see, that's what happens to you when you start teaching statistics. You want to be rigorous about this. You're not supposed to be rigorous. You're supposed to do some half-assed study and wing it out there and make a name for yourself.
Okay, I'll work on that.
Yeah, I mean...
I can improve.
Yeah, what do you need to do?
I can be the man you want me to be, Tom.
Well, I'm not so sure I want you to be that way, but I'm saying if you want to succeed in this world, you got to take shortcuts, and if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Just saying.
You know, if that's my world, I'll withdraw and go live in some obscure part of southwest Michigan.
I was going to say...
Oh,
that's
wait, I've already done that.
Yeah, wait, you've already done that. The good news is... I'll probably see you tomorrow.
You will see me tomorrow, and I know you saw a lot of our crew on Wednesday night.
Yes.
I had dinner with them all last night, and what we're referring to is Tom's Notre Dame class is at what, your 45th reunion?
Yep.
So Notre Dame stages reunion weekends like most schools, all the classes on their five-year, you know, every 5 years anniversary of graduation are come back to campus and sort of check into the check into dorm rooms, except for those who are staying at a friend's house and hang out for the weekend. And they have all kinds of organized activities that they don't go. Now, you know, get this, hopefully there's nobody in authority that would listen actually I would like them to listen to the Stocks and Jocks podcast here, but regardless, the first thing that they did was they realized that they put up signs for the bathrooms and showers, and had the women's right near where all of our guys were staying. And way far at the other end of the hall is where they had the men's. And because they were, like, the first ones there, guess who changed the signs?
Our guys have not changed, have they?
Have not changed very much in many ways.
Okay.
So now the men's is closer to where our guys are.
Well,
anyway, it was really good to see everybody last night, and will again for the next few days. And what's kind of nice is that when you've known people for 45 plus years, going on 50 years, you really do have interesting conversations of all kinds. There's a lot of depth, a lot of comfort level to wrestle with different kinds of issues and discussions and things like that, and it really is it is so good to see people that you know so well and you respect a lot, and to just sit down and enjoy wandering from serious to non-serious to everything in between.
Now Audrey would claim that we talk like males, but we come back with no knowledge of how the kids are doing, who got married where. All the important stuff we know nothing about when we come out of our conversations.
Well, that's fine, but we did set some important ground, which you'll see in the thought for the day today, and that that is that we decided, because we have an email group and we send things out, and people know that there's a few women in there, and we've all agreed that it's okay to be vulgar, just don't be sexist.
Yes. It turns out that I crashed in one of those dorms the other night. Let's just say, Audrey's the, what was the comment 2 years ago? Or 5 years ago? Let me get this straight. $60,000 to go to a school and I gotta walk down the hall to take a pee? Bite me. Or something along those lines. It wasn't vulgar, it wasn't anything, but let's just say you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, it's one of those, I kind of get into this in class in contract reviews. There are just moments when you look at something and you go, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, it's, I like the part about they're still using Army surplus blankets. Which, of course,
to believe you, I don't know.
Well, it's the, you ask yourself, how did Notre Dame, well, during the war, World War II war, the naval used it as a training facility, or else they probably would not have gone, they would not have survived. And, of course, they got all these Army surplus blankets. The nice thing about Army surplus, those wool blankets, they last like about 100 years. They're still using them. Anyway,
yeah.
But I did learn something.
And just, to, people may not know this, but that's the reason that Notre Dame will play Navy as long as Navy wants to keep playing
absolutely.
The game.
Without a doubt.
In the Naval Academy, because it's because of the Navy and running training programs on the campus at Notre Dame that the school didn't wind up closing its doors back in the 40s.
And they have a long memory. Well, Ted Hesper.
Otherwise, it would have ceased to exist. And so as a result, Notre Dame considers it, a debt of gratitude that they will continue to play that game as long as Navy wants to keep playing it.
The other academy is going in and out because they have a big ROTC program, but not like Texas A&M or anything, but still a reasonable size one. But Navy is always there. And
yep.
But I did learn something. Talk about the mother of invention. Our buddy Dr. Blade, who's been on the show a bunch of times, is telling me now they have in I never even dreamed of this, Kevin, but this goes to show you. Doing the show keeps me young because you keep learning stuff. Evidently there's such an onslaught of oxycodone prescription drug stuffs, and where he does practice in New Hampshire. I mean, you heard Bernie Sanders say it's the worst state in the union. It's so bad that people have been caught, let's say doctors putting out too many prescriptions and maybe having a problem with the stuff themselves and these kinds of things. When you get arrested for some of this stuff, now in order for you to essentially bail out and not go to jail because maybe you've got a job that, helps people, and by the way, what are you going to do in jail? They have like a PN demand thing where you'll have a beeper, and all of a sudden the beeper will go off, and somebody will be there literally in 5 minutes, and you got to run to the bathroom and pee. It's the ultimate random survey. And,
okay.
And it announced, but so many people evidently have figured out that the one way to trick this is evidently the day you don't take the I mean, I don't know anything about this. I mean, I know sort of what, what's his name, taught us about steroids, what's his name, the outfielder, and our buddy, A-Rod, although now he's a big celebrity. The days you're not at, evidently heroin or oxycodone or whatever it is not like marijuana where it'll stay in you for long periods of time. It's more like alcohol. I mean, this is an area I don't know anything about. But anyway, so people were like, shall we say, peeing in advance and carrying it with them. So if the guys are coming over for the test, you pour the clean stuff in and not, shall we say, right from the tapper. And so now somebody has, necessity being the mother of invention, somebody has now devised a test where they can check the age of the urine. So the first thing they check is whether the urine is new or not.
How old is your pee?
Yeah, but who would even imagine this kind of stuff, Kevin? This is the world we have now?
We've made an industry of it.
Yeah, we've made an industry of it. So how do you get in the business to showing up at somebody like right in the, you know, showing up in somebody's bathroom 5 minutes after you page him? Here I am. Where's your stuff? I mean,
I want to go back to the ringtone on the pager. I think it would be cool if instead of beeping or ringing or anything like that, it just played a little wave file of running water.
I'll bet that business, if you talk to 10 people, they would say, I don't want to do that. I would bet that the people that do it get paid, what do you figure it is, $100 a pickup, 50?
To run around and just pick up urine samples?
Yeah.
I don't know, that wouldn't be a hard job.
Well, if you're in downtown Chicago, you got to have two people. You can't park everywhere.
Right, you probably do it on bicycle.
Well, that's a thought.
It doesn't help you in the winter, but
no. So anyway, back to the why are we putting a tariff on Mexico? How did that happen between last night and today? As I'm still a little longer.
I don't agree with the policy. Let's start with that. But it's out of frustration that actually, you know, I think of this as I'm not going to say it. That Mexico is allowing people to pass so freely through their country from the triangle countries is a big source of frustration for not just for the president but for a lot of people in the administration and frankly a lot of people in general. The Trump administration has been after the Mexican government to do something about this for a long time, and they're not getting any traction with it. So he's trying to basically squeeze them.
I don't get
this is a, you know, I don't think this is a good way to do it. I don't know if it's going to be an effective way to do it, but I get what he's doing. I just don't think that we've gone from tariffs being something that's part of an economic battle to tariffs being part of a way to exercise foreign policy, and that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
There are people. I guess I'll move over to another area, but there are people in this world, Kevin. And if you were a Star Trek aficionado, there was one. Actually, it was a two-part series where the Romulans or somebody picked up Picard and they were torturing the living bleep out of him, basically. And you're either part of the group that says torture must work because it's brutal enough, or you're part of the group that says at the end of the day, torture says more about you and hurts you more mentally than it almost does the other people. Now, obviously, you'd rather be on the, you wouldn't want to be on the wrong end of the electric prod versus the other end, but in the long run, It essentially hurts you as much and says as much about the character of your people as it does what you're getting out of the other guy, which I honestly very much believe, okay, as a civilized society. as an economic guy who's pretty good, I mean, I'm pretty well read, let's put it that way, you're either in the camp, and I think most economists are, most economists that have a brain cell working, are in the camp that at the end of the day, tariffs hurt the country putting the tariff on, maybe more than, I mean, it hurts us as much as them. Now, clearly, Trump has some people around him, and I don't know where they got their education, are absolutely convinced that it's a punitive thing for the other place, and they lose in the long run. And depending on the products, depending on the place, that can be right or wrong. I happen to think it's mostly wrong. But even if it's in this interest, inference, maybe it's somewhat right, in the short term, these guys are very, very quick to use this tariff club because I think he's got some friggin' morons in the White House that actually think it works. And yet every place in history, it's pretty much has it worked. Every time you stand down on tariffs, it seems like both countries grow and everybody's better off for it. I mean, you could look at the Great Depression, and some people would point to the Hawley Smoot tariffs as the thing that put everybody over the edge. I mean, where is he getting, or is this just his own, you know, lack of knowledge in the area that if you can get money out of people, somehow you're hurting them? But we're the ones that are paying it. I just don't get it. I honestly don't get it. I'll stop there.
What he's trying to do is hurt their economy by saying you can't sell as much stuff here. You won't be able to sell as much stuff here. But, you know, if that's really what you want to do, then just restrict what legally comes
right
across the border. Don't play the tariff game.
But he's confused by this.
Say, okay, we're going to, you know, and there's lots of ways you can do it. You can slow down traffic. You can just be a pain in the butt when it comes to the traffic flows between the United States and Mexico. You don't have to. You don't have to go all official on this.
Well, I mean, why has there not been? From what I understand, Kevin, and again, I think I'm 90% sure. One of the reasons that the auto companies have plants down there is we don't have a treaty with South America. The Mexico can send cars to South America, and we can't or don't or something. But now, what are you gonna do with General Motors if they've got all these Chevys down there? Are you gonna how does the math work? We send the engines and transmissions down there. Maybe they sent some of the steel up here in the first place. We use some of the stuff to make the stuff here. We send the stuff back down there. It gets assembled in Mexico and comes back. Do you get to subtract what you exported down there and part of the thing? I mean, who's writing the regs for this? And how fast are they doing them?
Don't know what to tell you about that. And isn't that the $60,000 or $64,000 question pretty much for any kind of legislation? Who's writing the regs? How fast are they doing it? We saw that with healthcare, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna.
And I wasn't really happy with the outcome.
No, I'm not either. The original theory didn't sound so bad, but boy, it sure didn't come out looking like that.
I don't know. I thought it sounded bad all along, but
well,
hey, that's just me.
Let's put it this way: the original theory was sort of like. I mean, I look at it the economic way, Kevin, is that the war on poverty, they spent so much money on the war on poverty with all these programs. The only one I think it's even left is the Head Start program. If you would have taken something like two-thirds of the money you spent, divided it by the amount of poor people and sent them a check, you wouldn't have had any poverty. Now, again, there's the moral something-something they call about those kinds of things, but the simple fact is, If you would have taken the 20 million people that had nothing and just went out and bought them an insurance policy, it would have been way less for everybody than this whole...
It would have been less, and everybody else could have been left alone.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, you know how I would have done it. I would have, you know, my approach was, instead of Medicaid, that you allow people to buy insurance out of an HSA, and if you want to have a public policy that says we support people getting health care, and then and for those who are poor and can't afford it, no problem, we fund your HSA so that you will be able to buy insurance, and then you will be able to keep that insurance in force when you do get back on your feet, assuming you do, and therefore we sort of eliminate the pre-existing condition problem.
There was a lot of, we could have done it a lot, but once you let the distribution system involved, Kevin, and you let the insurance people write the regs, you got a problem. But real
well,
quick, I don't
or you let people who don't know a damn thing about insurance write the regs.
Enough people,
sure we did.
Let's put it this way, enough people who were in the chain wrote themselves into the chain. They were involved.
Yeah, and you had insurance companies that were wide-eyed about this because they thought they were going to get 30 million new customers who were
forced
to buy insurance. The first is they didn't get nearly what they thought they were going to get out of it, and the second is that they they wound up having to do it without really having control over their pricing anymore.
Kevin, I think they ended up with way too much control on the pricing, and I think they ended up with deductible so high that they never got a claim from 85% of the people in insurance.
Oh, they got a lot out of it. I don't disagree with you on that, Tom. What I'm saying though is that they were forced into a pricing model that priced everybody the same, which was expensive. And then they got browbeat.
Kevin, why don't you hold that thought there for the break?
Prices.
SP Futures still down 32. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar.
To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, and I'm mad about the markets this morning, and I'm furious about one thing I'll talk about in a second, which I don't normally get there. I try not to, especially on a nice Friday. S&P futures down 29.75. NASDAQ futures down 94.50. Dow futures down 279. I hope my buddy Kevin's with me on this one, or else we'll have to agree to disagree. DAX down 212, 1.8%. FTSE down 74, 1%. CAC around down 79, 1.5%. We're in Asia. We have the Nikkei down 341, 20,601. So let's say 20 through 21,000, like dinner through a goose. It's 1.6%. Shanghai only down 7, however, 0.2%. Hang Seng down 213.8. Oil, which you would think would be going up, this stuff is now 55.44. Ouch on the oil. It's down $1.15. Brent down $1.86, 65.01. The spread has come back a half a dollar in one day, which is bizarre. So we've got all kinds of things moving. Got gold up 890 to 1301, so gold's getting a shot with this thing with Mexico's threat. Silver not so much, because silver is obviously more of a manufacturing metal. It's down 2 cents, 1447. We have, of course, Trevi Weather Sports, guys.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one significant crash in the area on a Friday morning, and that's on the Tri-State southbound, just before the Hinsdale Oasis, blocking the two right lanes. This is affecting traffic in both directions. It's involving two semis. One of the semis is carrying fertilizer, so it's a hazmat situation as well. The Hinsdale Oasis is being used as a staging area, but it remains open. Expect solid traffic on both sides of the Tri-State while crews work to get this cleared up. And like I said, it's affecting the Tri-State in both directions just before the Hinsdale Oasis, but the crash itself is on the southbound I-294 Tri-State. Everything else looking okay from a traffic perspective. No issues coming in on the Ryan 57 or the Bishop Ford. Traffic starting to build on the Stevenson and Eisenhower, but no accidents. Same for the Kennedy and Edens. Looking quiet. We have a crash down in Orland Park, 131st Street at 104th Avenue. This accident is involving a pedestrian. So there's medical crews on the scene there. And then we still have that closure that we've had the last few days in Orland due to flooding. Southwest Highway between 143rd and 135th is closed due to flooding that has been ongoing. It's officially been the rainiest month of May in Chicago recorded weather history. No surprise to anyone who lived through it the last 31 days. But today's the last day, so that means what? June's going to be dry?
So we did go through the record?
Yes, the most rainfall in the history of May in recorded Chicago.
And what's more bizarre is the second Renius was last year, and the third was like 5 years ago.
I know. Yeah. By the way, festival season is officially underway now, and there's lots of closures for that real quick. For Taste of Mexico, 26th Street between Kedzie and California is closed. For Due Division Street Fest, Division is closed between Levin and Damon down in Wicker Park. And then up in Lincoln Square for Mayfest, Leland Avenue between Western and Lincoln is closed as well. And these closures will last all weekend, and they're rerouting buses and everything. So keep that in mind as you're heading out this morning. Weather today, it's going to be a lovely day. Lots of sunshine, high of 82. Right now it's sunny and 63 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 98 today as it warms up down in the Valley of the Sun. Right now it's clear and 70. In sports, don't look now, but the White Sox have won four in a row, and they're just a couple of games back in that second wild card spot. They blew out the Indians yesterday. 10-4 was the final. White Sox playing good ball. Cubs were off. They're at St. Louis tonight after losing 2 of 3 down in Houston. It's a 7:15 at Central Time first pitch. Yu Darvish versus Mikolas of the Cardinals. And the Diamondbacks lost 11-10 in a shootout with the Rockies last night. Lastly, game one of the NBA Finals tipped off yesterday evening, and it was Toronto taking game one over Golden State, 118-109.
Chief. Get ready. Your man Jack over there on the tweets, Maddie, because we're probably going to get some people calling in. But
yeah, before you do, did anybody predict a sweep for the Warriors? Anybody in studio, perhaps?
Well, a lot of people did, I think.
Just picking on Matt.
Well, yeah, I like the Raptors in the series, and then I was watching the pregame, and then when I saw Rose, Billups, and Pierce all pick the Raptors, I was like, okay. Even though I like the Raptors in the series, now it makes me believe the Warriors are going to sweep them.
You're saying those nitwits pick them, then I'm going the opposite.
Essentially, yeah. And I really like the Raptors. When you take Kevin Durant off the lineup, Golden State is still very, very good, obviously, but they're beatable. With Durant, I truly think they're unbeatable right now. But without them, they're beatable, and the Raptors looked good in game one, and we'll see.
To go from 3 stars to 2 is tough when they're at that level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's the guy, the guard, and what college did he come from? The guy, the beardo guy, and the Raptors.
Fred Van Vliet?
No, he's got like no hair on top of his head. He's got that guy manages to score no matter what. I mean, he's the pestiest.
You're talking about the little point guard guy?
Yeah, boy, yeah, he's a hell of a player.
He's from Chicago. But he was lightly recruited out of high school, and Chicago kid. Of course, Illinois would never dare recruit a guy like that. And he ended up going to Wichita State and played on one of the better college basketball teams of the last 10 years at Wichita State that had 3 NBA players on it, went to a Final Four.
That's right, I remember those guys.
Yeah, yeah. And he was...
Yeah, Irish played them in the tournament, and Van Vliet was a heck of a good ball player.
Yeah, and so then he doesn't get drafted, of course, and goes through the D League, and he may have even played overseas a little bit, and just kept working at it, and then... They were talking about it last night. He took like the very last roster spot on the Raptors coming out of training camp, and now he's basically worked his way into their sixth man, and he's extremely valuable.
All right, I got to get this one off my chest. I was listening to, I was reading some stuff the other day, and it's the Fresno Grizzlies that came out with this thing with AOC, our friend Cortez, and you know what. She may not be any part of your politics, and I wish you'd get off the socialism thing and so forth. And I'd love to have her on the show, and maybe I can talk a little bit of economic sense into her. But the fact is, she's a.
She was an economics major at Boston University.
It's okay.
Fine university. If you're not going to talk any new sense into her,
there's a chance. There's always a chance. Anyway, the Fresno Grizzlies decided to put up a thing on the board at one of their games where it was a Ronald Reagan talking about enemies of the state, and they show the picture of this guy from North Korea and Castro and I don't know who else, no good next, they throw up there, and they throw this lady's picture up there. And you know what, anybody who thinks so I was seething enough over that to start with, and then today the article comes out, North Korea executed, this is our buddy Trump's buddy, what's his name? Kim Jong, whatever the hell his name is. North Korea executed a special envoy to the United States, Kim Hawk Choi, and foreign ministry officials holding them responsible for the collapse of the U.S. North Korea summit in Hanoi. This is one of his officials. A South Korean newspaper reported. Senior official carried out working level negotiations for the second U.S. North Korea summit in February is also said to have been subjected to forced labor and ideological education before they killed him. North Korean leader is believed to be carrying out a massive purge to divert attention away from internal turmoil and discontent to newspaper. Anybody who takes an elected official who's done nothing wrong to anybody, other than maybe have some views you don't like, and put them on the same board as this guy, I'll tell you one thing, go do something to yourself. Anybody who thought it was funny, you do it too. Is that too harsh, Kevin?
No, not at all. It's one of those things where what were you thinking? It's really,
yeah.
Were you trying to be funny? It isn't. And it's one thing to have the thought; it's another to go through with it, because that's where the real consciousness is. Where I've thought some of the dumbest things on earth
were funny
for a second until I thought about it for a second and said no. What are people thinking sometimes?
That's why I
just don't understand.
Somehow between your parents, your grandparents, your friends, in my case, the guys from Notre Dame, your education, somewhere you're supposed to develop as an adult this filter between, should I roll down the window and flip that guy off? Nah, I think I won't. And even Warren Buffett said, you can always reserve the right to call somebody a son of a bitch tomorrow. You don't have to do it today. If you still feel the same way tomorrow, maybe it's worthwhile, but you don't have to do it right away. Maybe you should think about it for a second. I mean, there's a certain amount of restraint in any kind of society that you're supposed to have. And we seem to don't have much of it, Kevin, or some people don't. I don't. Other people seem to have all kinds of it. No matter how much, they're calm and collected in the worst of times. And other people, I don't, what's the matter with them? What is the matter with them?
Well, you know what? I'll give you a hypothesis, and we can test it, and we can talk to our favorite psychologist about it too, if we want. But I'm not blaming social media per se. What I am saying is that we have a lot of people who, via social media, have learned that that they can be anonymous and say a lot of things in anonymity that you would never say to someone face to face, because you'd get punched a lot.
Yep.
And so I think we've developed that habit in people, and now it has translated beyond the cyber world, and it's now a phenomenon of just how people deal with each other, and it's not a good one, obviously.
How much, Kevin, is it? I'll back up a little bit on ranting on people. How much of it? Not only is she one of my favorite people, the lady who did Sarah Palin, the movie she was in,
Tina Fey,
the movie she was in when she was a reporter in Afghanistan. I don't know if anybody saw it. I saw it just because I like her. But actually, Audrey made me watch it. But it was nice of her because I like Tina Fey.
The movie, by the way, is called Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Right. And thanks, Manny. And the whole idea was, since Afghanistan is clearly on page 12 of the paper now, if there was such a thing as a paper, you had to keep doing something more and more bizarre. She had to keep the real message to the movie was not, the living conditions and the sexy interactions and stuff between the reporters. It really was for you to continue to make it a story about Afghanistan that people would read here. You had to keep getting closer and closer, crazier and crazier. You had to find your way into a Taliban meeting, which was dangerous as hell. You had to actually show bodies. It had to get bloodier and bloodier for you to get back on page one, essentially. So how much of it, Kevin, is you got to keep doing stupider and stupider things for people to hear you because it's almost a race to the dumbest or something? And
well, I think there is an element of that. I think that that's part of reporting, and it's a part that I don't really get very well, because news media now is so focused on being first, and that's often to the exclusion of being right. It's too often to the exclusion of being right. And and I don't get a lot of value out of being first. Now, you know, look, if a tornado's coming through my neighborhood, yes, I get a whole lot of value out of being first. But, you know, what do I care if, if the latest Trump story, the latest recruiting news for college football, the latest, you pick a news story. I don't really care. What do I care if I get it a couple hours later from somebody else? I care more that I get it right. And, we've gotten away from that, too. I mean, there's just a whole lot of immediacy things that we've now baked into our culture that that really need a step back. You know, we need to figure out how this really ought to work, because I just think we have, we don't always deal with technology well.
Never did.
You know, that's no matter what kind of technology we're discussing. It isn't necessarily a phenomenon of the last few the last 15 years. I think it's a phenomenon of how we as humans often have to catch up to the technology, and we haven't. We haven't done it well at all, and that's it's a problem, because the misuse of it or the poor use of it is not serving us well. It's not serving us well in media. It's not serving us well in personal interactions.
Did you see? I should have. I don't know. I didn't know how to send it out, because every time I send something out from the Tribune, which I pay for, the person I send it to can't open it. You know, so it's kind of a less than zero-sum game, shall we say. There was a picture, I believe it was a week ago yesterday, of the, I don't know, I've never seen it before, Kevin. And again, if anything about what we do on the show, at least me, it's the most humbling experience to constantly learn something you think you should already have known. The more you know, literally, the more you know you don't know. But so there was somehow or another, these guys had a picture. Well, they took the picture, that's how they somehow or another, of the first hydrogen bomb blast at Bikini Atoll. And I knew that that's where the first hydrogen bomb blast was, but nothing possessed me to look at any of the detail. Well, this particular picture in this article has to do with basically all the bleep-ups. I mean, we think we have, you talk about technology. Well, everybody knows we dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and it took a year and a half or 2 years of literally tens of thousands of people working in this country to get enough uranium for those two bombs. And it was a massive, massive undertaking. To the point where the idea that Germany was like a month away is total BS, because they didn't have anywhere near the amount of people or the amount of technology or just the brute force to do that while they were fighting on two fronts. So not to say that if they had four or five more years, they wouldn't have been able to do it. They might have. But anyway, so Kevin, they got this thing taking a picture. It must have been some plane way the hell up, because obviously it wasn't a satellite back then. And this mushroom cloud is the biggest thing I've ever seen. And all these dots on the whole area is lit up. So all these dots on the water, are our ships there to kind of observe it? The thing came like right to the bow. Evidently, the hydrogen bomb that went off was 2.5 times more powerful than any of the theory had said it was going to be. It damn near took out the whole Navy watching the thing. And so this thing settles down. The place is obviously annihilated, but he can't end it. So over the next, I don't know how many years, they have people there picking up the most radioactive stuff of this thing that now is way bigger than it should have been. And they plunk it in one of the craters, evidently from one of the older bomb blasts of the atomic era, which, just been a couple years before. And they seal the top of the thing with concrete. Well, fast forward to 2019, the thing is now leaking, right? So now, hey, U.S., how are you going to fix this, you idiots? I guess this is a real issue now with the people down in that area saying, what are you going to do? It's not going to stay there where you told us it was going to stay. If the seawater starts getting in there, it's a problem for everybody. I mean, you read this stuff and you go, how could we have been? What is the matter with us, Kevin? I mean, do we have to blow these things off? I mean, what you just said is essentially what I'm trying to make the point.
It's a consistent theme here.
Yeah.
Because the technology is outpacing us, and we're not well equipped play catch up. We do. We always have eventually, but it's really difficult. I'll give you a different example. You know, Facebook. It started out simple. It replaced the hard copy Facebook that that the college had. Zuckerberg, eventually figured out that he could monetize it. But there's a whole lot of genie out of the bottle stuff there that happened, where they go from the blow up. It's almost like the annual blow up with privacy and data and things like that. And I don't think Zuckerberg. I think in many cases they actually did ignore the implications, but I don't think in general that he's really trying to screw people over. What I do believe, though, is that he doesn't have the kind of vision that it was necessary to be able to do this and keep people's information, and guard people's privacy and to manage the information well and all of those things that needed to be done.
That
he couldn't do, and so, his big business idea has just completely gotten away from him, and it's been a big source of embarrassment and pressure and everything else along the way. And I don't think he's paid that big a price for it,
somebody,
I think the public has.
It depends on the person, Kevin, and I'll use an example of Ray Kroc. I think I don't know the guy Zuckerberg, but if he sat down here, I'm going to guess he's a young guy. He's from the new generation. I think he cares a lot about maybe some privacy concerns, maybe. But they're not, I'm going to say they're not his number one priority. They're one of the priorities. Now, Ray Kroc, for those that don't remember when the man was alive, the idea when we first started taking vacations when I was a Ute, did you say a Ute? I mean, one of the biggest things, my mom was not, she was a child of the Depression, so it wasn't like she was a princess or anything like that. But whenever we were somewhere on the road, if we stopped for lunch, the whole thing was, find me a place where there's a ladies' bathroom that I could walk in without bugs jumping at me or something. People think that that's not a big deal, but obviously, to people it is, and for women more than guys. And, it's just the way the world is. But when McDonald's started out, one of the reasons why they became such a instant attraction, not instant, but pretty fast, was that every place you went, there was some standard, and the place was always clean. You could always stop. You didn't have to worry about anything like that. And Ray Kroc, when he went to inspect the McDonald's, he wouldn't even wave to the people behind the counter. He'd go straight to the bathroom. It was not just something he wanted. He was concerned about,
because he was getting older.
No. I mean, it wasn't just something he was concerned about. It was his number one priority. That nobody ever would ever stop.
It was his number two priority.
Well, maybe two, yeah. but you know what I'm saying? Is it, he, whatever it was, he didn't want anybody ever walking into a McDonald's, walking in the bathroom or anywhere in the place and find the place dirty. Or unsanitary, or somebody says, I'm never coming back here again. And every single person knew that in the chain. So, I mean, I'm going to say Zuckerberg probably cares about it, but just not enough, Kevin.
Because there isn't that, that driving vision that says this is this is what we are. When I asked you a couple days ago if you think Apple is an innovation company anymore, that was the driving vision of Steve Jobs. I don't get that out of the company anymore. Jobs was the guy who said the people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who change the world.
Oh, right. Oh, absolutely.
And that was that company, and I think that's all, and I think every company needs that, every business needs that, and I don't think I don't see it that way with Zuckerberg. Used Facebook as a business ethics case, and it's interesting because you will get you'll get people who will say, hey, look, it's his business. If he can make money doing this, more power to him. It's entirely up to him. And there's others who say, no, he should not be allowed. And then there are others who say, well, if you don't like it, don't sign the, don't do the I agree click. But on the other hand, does anybody write that,
It gets worse than that, Kevin.
So that people are gonna, there's just so much in there, and I don't think this is a guy, as smart as he is, I don't think this is a guy who was equipped to deal with it.
Well, and, but he's...
And so, you know, I think he's got a tiger by the tail.
He's also got a major advantage. We had the two young ladies in breaking the two female rule. We had Jay-Z and her friend Emma, and Emma was jousting. Emma was the lady, for those who remember, was in the conflict and resolution major at DePaul. Brilliant young lady, and been worked with refugees overseas and here. I mean, good heart, smart girl, and so she was, I asked him, can DePaul basically bleep can Facebook? And they both said no. It's so involved in DePaul. I mean, Jay-Z's had a couple issues, family issues, and she was getting some people beating up on her on Facebook. And I said, Jay-Z, turn it off. I can't turn it off. Why? Because every one of my meetings, all my sorority stuff, all my classes, if the prof change the time for a test, it all comes to you over Facebook. The entire university has embraced the thing, whether it's out of laziness. So you can't check off, give me a phone call or a text. Oh, no, there's nobody around to do that. If you don't pick it up on Facebook, you miss it. I'm like, where are we going with this? We only got 30 seconds, but, I mean, they're in way too deep considering how imperfect it is, I think.
It's going to be hard to shake it loose. That's what I said. Now it's the tiger by the tail. We can't let go, and the ride's pretty rough.
Well, we're going to go to Wayne Mantzen here in a bit. Kevin, maybe Wayne will tell us who in the White House is for tariffs. I'm going to say Larry Kudlow isn't. So obviously he's getting shouted down by somebody. S&P futures down 31. NASDAQ futures down 98. Dow futures down 265. Ouch. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's John@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. It's Matt Weber and Mr. Jack Silverman working the board. And we have Mr. Wayne Mattson. Was S&P futures down 3150? Ouch. NASDAQ futures down 102. We got Dow futures down 275. Individual stocks getting clobbered here with this 5% threat of tariff on all Mexican goods. This is the day after we were lambasting the Democrats for not passing the bill. What bill? Now that we've got tariffs back on them. GM's down $1.89. It's 5.4% as automakers worldwide are getting a big hit. Individual stocks in the Dow, we've got Apple down $3, Boeing down $4.50, we've got Caterpillar down $2.24. So it's kind of a carnage down the line. Goldman Sachs down $2.80, JP Morgan down $1.93. So everybody's getting The only stock in the Dow I've got up is Visa is up 40 cents. So I don't know where that takes us, but every stock that's open in the transportation average as well. And the railroads are getting absolutely pummeled. Like Union Pacific down 540, and Norfolk and Southern down 407. So big hits everywhere so far this morning. Is this one? This one came out of left field. Wayne, how are you, bud?
Pretty good. How's everything going?
Fine. But if I were to list, let's see. My buddy Wayne is coming on. He's always a good. Whatever I want to talk about, it's always fun. Out of a list of important things to do, if I was forced myself to put 100 topics down for this morning, tariffs on Mexico would not have been anywhere close to any of those 100. Where did this come from?
Well, you know, I really think it's because Trump has now recognized the fact that there's a very popular president in Mexico. They call him AMLO, Lopez Obrador. As a matter of fact, he took an economy flight. This is the president of Mexico the other day, and one of the passengers began to serenade him like a mariachi band guy. And Trump reads that kind of stuff, and it disgusts him because Trump is so unpopular, at least with the intelligent people with, you know, somewhat decent IQs.
Careful, Hillary.
He doesn't read. I take that back. He hears about that, then he wants to blame Mexico for, caravans, which, you know, don't really exist.
Well, I mean, it's the careful, Hillary. What you call his people?
Deplorables.
Yeah, it was the deplorables. So I mean, don't want to be Hillary on us, but.
I think she was too kind.
Well, I think there are people that, and I'm kind of in the middle on this. I I feel that he has an amazing ability to sense. He's almost like a guy who traded on the trading floor. Well, he never would have been there because you renege on one trade, you're off. He has an ability to sense what's bothering other people. And when you do trade with people and you see people in pressure situations, that is a skill you pick up. I mean, he has it more than I do, but he obviously understood more than most the angst of most of America when he ran last time, and he was able to hit on it.
That's the one trick pony. What he doesn't understand, he doesn't have a sense for how people are disgusted with his performance, and him just as a human being. The constant insults,
that's
coming up with sixth grade level nicknames for people, and, you know, making fun of disabled people. You know, this is the kind of stuff that would send any student to the disciplinarian's office. Obviously, and we know this from people who have studied Trump for a long time, that he was never really disciplined by his father. His father basically instilled in him this idea that you've got to go out there and be better than everyone else. And so there was no moral upbringing at home, even though his mother told Ivana back when they were getting divorced, Ivana, his first wife, and Trump were divorced back in the early 90s, Ivana told his mother, I should say, told Ivana, she said, I don't know what kind of son I've raised. Well, what we now know is Mary Trump had very little to do with the raising of Donald Trump. It was really his father, Fred. So even Howard Stern has come out and said, look, you know, he's a friend of mine, but man, this guy, you know, had a really weird childhood and upbringing. And now we're all suffering the consequences.
But you end up, Wayne, I guess you're supposed to push back on radio, but just in general, when you say what you just said, okay, and it's impossible to disagree with that, certainly on some level, but when you look at what people are willing to put up with if they feel being harmed, I mean, I think what he has taught me, and again, I don't any of the stuff you said about him, I don't like either, but I also know that there's a skill set there that locked in on people. I mean, anybody else could have been in the Oval Office like he is, and they're not. And I'm not going to compare him to Adolf Hitler in terms of personality or anything, but I'm saying anybody who thinks that Hitler was just an idiot, don't think that at all, because...
No, absolutely not. He was able to... He knew how to test the feelings of the German people, especially during the Depression, and what points to hit. Of course, it resulted in, you know, the establishment of the Nazi regime in Germany. But remember, although he didn't get a majority of the votes, he was elected in a plurality of the votes.
I mean, how many brutal parties were there around in the early 30s in Germany, and he rose to the top? I mean, you have a skill set to do that. It doesn't make him a good person or anything like that, but you can learn from these types of things. And the part what you just said, here's what I'll push back some, Wayne, is that the depths that a lot of people in this country are in. I mean, if you, I don't know if you listened to the show yesterday, but Carl Denninger was on it. Carl digs through a lot of these government reports, kind of as you do, but he's a serious economics guy. And he believes that if you look at these reports and you pull out the money that the Fed has poured in, and you adjust for all this stuff and the borrowing that the Fed has done, it really is only going to one group of people. I mean, you can pretty much say that. There's exceptions, and there's areas of the country that are doing better. I mean, I get all that, but by and large, he's convinced that if you go back 10, 12 years, maybe even more, there has been no growth, maybe even negative growth, for a big chunk of the society. So, for Trump to say that during the campaign, somebody's going to sit there and go, the first time somebody's ever run that says, I'm not doing so hot, and I'm not. All the rest of these guys, all they do is blow smoke up on behind. I mean, on both sides of the aisle. I mean, there's a reason why he connected. Now, which gave him an opportunity like no other. And I'm pissed off at him because he's blown the opportunity, basically. I'm very jealous. I wish I would have had that opportunity. I hope I could have done a better job because I would have brought people like you and Carl with me, but, and Kevin. But what I'm saying is people, if you're, well, my father was in World War II in the South Pacific. My uncle died in Europe. Now, if you think that Eisenhower was the best chance of getting your son or husband home alive, do I really give a rat's behind whether he's sleeping with his Jeep driver? No, I don't. You're willing to put up with amazing things if you think people are going to help you out economically, whether you think your kid's going to be. I mean, George Patton had to be one of the, I mean, I don't think he was one of the saints on earth ever. Yet if you thought he could get your kid alive, back home alive with a greater chance than Mr. Nice Guy, you want him as your general. You know, so it's not just whether the guy, you know, you don't really like him personally all that much. It has to do with if you think that your firm has a chance to compete because he got rid of some regulations which were going right down your throat, you're gonna like the guy because now you have a living when you didn't before. I mean, everybody has their own issues, is what I'm saying. I think everybody has to believe there's only a very small percentage of the population that enjoys the part that he's a cad. I hope. You know, I'm hoping.
Yeah. The issue is, what we've seen, and this awful thing he did with in Japan by, you know, having either ordering it or having somebody order the commander of the 7th Fleet to, cover up the USS John McCain on the Arleigh Burke-class destroyer.
Yeah.
I laugh at these people on TV like Chuck Todd, who call it an aircraft carrier and insist it was named after McCain. It was rededicated to John McCain, the senator, after he died, but it's named after now three generations of McCains, his grandfather and father who were admirals, and now McCain himself. But this is the kind of petulant attitude of a child, I was a big critic of McCain when he became. He wanted to attack everybody. He almost sounded like John Bolton on certain occasions. But nevertheless, I mean, you know, that kind of low-blow attack, covering up, that's what happens in places like North Korea and Stalin's Russia, you know, reinventing history, covering things up, erasing people from photographs. I don't think it has any place in the United States.
By the way, did you ever see any of those photographs before and after? They're pretty neat.
Well, they were very bad. And this was done before Photoshop. The Soviets were really masters that, you know, somebody got purged. And look, there they were last year standing atop Lenin's tomb on Red Square. And now they're gone. They were able to, like, you know, almost replace every pixel.
Yeah.
In the photograph without the benefit of Photoshop.
For those that don't know what the hell Wayne's talking about, I read the numbers once. I don't know if it was 200 people or 175 of, like, the best artists and photographers in Russia work for him. And if he off somebody, like the head of North Korea off the head negotiator from the last summit with Trump, they just killed him, like, yesterday or a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Right.
But Kathy Durbin, used to come on the show before they started monkeying her hours at the bank. Kathy, somehow, where she finds this stuff, Wayne, I have no idea. She sends me like 40s pictures. They were spectacular. They got this picture with Stalin with his left arm around this guy on a bridge right over the river.
Yeah.
And there's the guy. And all of a sudden, they show the next picture. Stalin's hands on the railing of the bridge. The guy's gone. You'd swear he was never there. Then there was one of who was the one that didn't like Trotsky, or was it Lenin?
Oh, yeah. Well, Trotsky was already gone, but he basically ordered the execution of the head of the NKVD, the secret police, Lavrenty Beria, and he was all of a sudden erased from the official photographs.
Yeah, he was like giving a speech at like Lenin's funeral or something. And then the next photograph, he's like gone. There's nobody giving the speech. These guys.
That's right. And you know that and other things, because you know the Soviet Union was a totalitarian dictatorship. The CIA actually employed specialists called Kremlinologists, who did nothing more than look at photographs, official photographs, read between the lines of Izvestia, Pravda, the TASS news agency, to see if there was any kind of hidden meanings that were escaping the censors in the Soviet Union. This was a real art form, and now here's something very, very unsettling. I've been told that other countries, their intelligence services, are now employing the same type of specialists on the United States to read the Trump administration.
Well, I was going to ask you a flat-out question here, not that I don't know. Somewhere along the line, I made this point with Kevin, so I won't do it again, but you either are somebody, and I'm my read of history is that terrorists are, unless they're your short-term responding to somebody else's or whatever, are inherently bad for both sides. And in the end, they might even be worse for the country that puts it on than the country that gets allegedly punished by them. You either, if you believe like I do, this is never, like Kevin said, you would just ban an import of something. But somewhere, someplace in the White House, there's a couple of guys, maybe not guys, that have Trump believing that tariffs inherently hurt the other guy more than you. And I don't think Larry Kudlow thinks that way. I don't think that way. I actually think it's almost like torture. In the end, it hurts you more than them because it hurts your society, it hurts your way of life. But not to mention that the one day, obviously, it hurts the other guy more than you. But I think tariffs are a horrible idea. And at the end of the day, I mean, I did something earlier in the week, Wayne, where I did this thing about student debt and the areas where if your percentage of student debt is versus your essentially median income for people with bachelor's degree. And, of course, I got a totally different response than I expected, which is, you know, the way I do research. But it talked about all these small towns where there's people with bachelor's degrees making $20,000 and their student debt is $22,000. I mean, we're not talking about graduate or anything. And I'm just sitting there going, how the hell can this guy, and those are people, I think those are his areas. These are basically our red states. How does he drop an $850 to $900, whatever you happen to read, $600, whatever? How do you drop a $900 tariff bill on this guy? I mean what are we doing? Do we think that somehow in Mexico that even if we are going to hurt some of the people, those people have no ability to throw this guy out of office? There's got to be some people there to think that the tariffs are really a good thing. And that every chance you get to put them on, you do. It's not the other way around. It would be the last thing I ever did. I mean, but who there is arguing pro? It's obviously, I don't think it's Kudlow.
Yeah, it's not Kudlow. As a matter of fact, what's funny is you look at some of the Republicans, especially those in the Senate, they always supported free trade.
Yeah.
Which did not involve tariffs, but because of this cult of personality that has been developed around Trump, and it's no longer that Republican Party. As a matter of fact, you know, the actual real Republicans who believed in free trade ought to sue and say, stop using the name of our party. Call it the Trump Party, but don't call it Republican. But, this is what I see. He's imposing tariffs when he has a temper tantrum.
Yeah, pretty much.
You try to run an economy on that type of thing.
Well, I read once, and this is a question for Wayne Manson. I read once that the authority the president gets to issue tariffs essentially unilaterally comes from a 1973, 74, something like a Nixon era law, or even before that, where you can temporarily. I mean, I'm asking you for the wording. Temporarily put on tariffs if it's national security. And it's been abused before because Nixon cited the Korean conflict, which, you know, had been at a stalemate for 30 years.
incited that conflict for a tariff he threw on at one time. So it's been abused by a bunch of people. But where exactly is all the national defense problem? Are we saying that people coming over the border are a national threat? Is that what he's saying? He must be.
Yeah. He's trying to. He's politicizing trade, just like he's politicizing the military. He's trying to weaponize diplomacy. And this is all based on this erratic personality is to fly off the handle. Many people who worked for the Trump Organization who quit in disgust said, look, the reason why he declared bankruptcy so many times is because he never listened to any of his own people. Now, obviously, the biggest problem with that company was it was privately held stock. So, yes, there was a board of directors, but it wasn't an outside board, and there was no legitimate sort of like outside audit committee member on the board. He never listened to these people, many of whom were members of his family. He wound up in several bankruptcy situations.
Well, I will say this, though, and it's, I mean, I don't know, but it's my personality is even if I despise somebody, I still have to, on the economic side, I have to stand up for them on things that happen, because things happen in this country economically to people. I mean, yesterday I was talking about the savings and loan and how Paul Volcker just walked all over those people. I mean, I see what's happening. Oh, yeah. I see what's happening in my industry with the regulation. The securities industry has decided they want five big firms, let's put it this way. The five big firms are convincing the regulators that they really should just have five big firms. I mean, clearly the banks have told the Fed that this is it. We're the four people, and your job is to keep us fat and happy. And but I mean, what happened to Trump in the Atlantic City thing? I'm not a big fan of his way of doing business. Everybody knows that. But if you were to look at the whole history of that, and when they went to Atlantic City, essentially the people in Atlantic City wanted. I'll be gross. They wanted your left nut, basically, to do business there in terms of the taxes and everything, because they were giving you this, essentially giving you the Philadelphia, New York area, you know, which, you know, there's a bazillion people. There hadn't been any gambling out there. Those places, the casinos, I used to like to go to Vegas. I went to Atlantic City once. The casino in Atlantic City was five times one of the bigger than one that I ever saw in Vegas. And there were, you know, 400 buses every day. Bringing the blue-haired ladies in.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows where.
Yeah, play the nickel machines,
and
right?
And all of a sudden, one day, somebody decides, right, wrong, I have no idea. Somebody decides to let an Indian casino in Connecticut for virtually no taxes. And this place goes up, and it's, what, it was 10 times the size of the biggest one. And every place in New Jersey slumped within a week, because you're competing with people that are in a totally different footprint in terms of expenses than you are, and I mean, I don't, as much as I'm not a Trump fan, I'm not so sure that Solomon would have kept one of those places going during that change over time. I mean,
the problem for Trump is, you know, there was also something else going on, was the Mississippi Riverboat casinos were starting up at the same time. Now Trump tried to invest in one of those, but the guy who was his partner was a con man, a guy who was here illegally from South Africa, who was later indicted, and all the investors were built in it was supposed to be on the Mississippi in St. Charles, Missouri, and the whole thing fell apart. So Trump also dabbled with Indian casinos, but, you know, it was too late. Where he didn't mind doing deals with the mafia on the Atlantic City casinos, he had a real problem dealing with Native Americans. As a matter of fact, you'll find him quoting saying, they're not really Indians. He's made that quote. Well, one can argue about who the front people are and who's behind those Native American reservation casinos, but he just could not change along with the times. That's a lousy businessman who can't, you know, foresee, well, wait a minute, you know, it's going to be more than Atlantic City now. It's going to be the riverboats. It's going to be the Native American reservations, and there's a kind of guy, if that was a publicly traded company and he were the CEO, the shareholders would have had his head long ago.
I don't know if you ever went to one of the, I went to maybe one or two of the riverboats here in Illinois, and
that crowd, there's no way that crowd ever made it to Atlantic City. I mean, there's zero competition there. I mean, it's, I think, you know, I mean, it, the, this is all sort of different, but I would love to see, I mean, it would be an amazing work, but if you just did a book on the Indian casinos, clearly if you drive through Oklahoma, where there is actually one reservation after another, sadly, you'll see a Butler Building kind of casino. Nothing crazy nice, virtually in every single casino and every single, you know, every exit of the whatever, yeah, I-40 or whatever. And there's no money there. I mean, there's some, but then you'll see how do you
there's nothing, as you say, there's nothing else. I mean, there's no entertainment. There's, you know, there's no other draw except for people who, you know, who are hooked on, you know, a lot of them are hooked on gambling. And, you know, I see it. I'm in Florida here. We have a Seminole, the Hard Rock Casino in Tampa. It's the only one here. But, you know, you can see the little old ladies spending both their husband, the late husband's pension money and their Social Security checks.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an issue, but I'm saying the story there has got to be a lot different than the downtown Indy Casino in Milwaukee. Now, clearly, it's not, I mean, I don't think, if I did the research, it's some guy who says, hey, my tribe used to live here, I want a casino, and somebody's saying, okay. There's got to be, there's got to be other, let's say, other money behind that. I'm just saying.
And it's not clean money either.
Well, I mean, I've lived in Chicago long enough that none of this stuff just happens. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Wayne,
being in Washington and overhearing a conversation at the Monocle, which is a big lobbying hangout over on the Senate side, and there was actually a conversation.
Wayne, you have to hold this. Native American
who was chairing that meeting.
God, hey Wayne, next time, buddy, we'll go into more of that. Real quick, do you think is there a chance that next week the tariffs come off and the market rallies, or are we stuck in this now?
Well, gee, you know, it's based on how Trump feels when he wakes up in the morning, and I hate to say it, but it's pretty obvious when he's tweeting out these things. He calls it executive time. He's still lounging around the bedroom in his bathroom, probably sitting on the commode. So, we'll have to see how he feels.
Oh God. Take care of yourself. SP Futures down 32 and a quarter. NASDAQ Futures down 102. Come back, Mr. John Neal. Talk about the market. See if there's anything to buy here. I don't know. We'll see. Be right back. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Al. Matt Weber and Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. We have Mr. John Neal in a second. SP Futures coming back a hair, I guess, only down 29.25. NASDAQ Futures down 90. It was down like 110 at the low, 108 or something. Dow Futures still down about 250. So I've got every stock in the Dow down this morning so far in pre-market. Every stock in the transportation average down. Notables are Boeing down 389, Apple down 252. Got Chevron down $1.33. We got oil down. We got everything down here. 3M under 160. I never thought I'd see that. 159.33. I would not have guessed that. Stock was 220 or something 6 months ago. That is an ouch. Over in Europe, we're down there as well. With DAX down, not down 220. It's 1.9%. FTSE down 75, 1%. CAC around down 77, 1.5. In case you were somewhat asleep or under a rock, we've got the president. I would never have guessed this in a million years last night when we were up. Well, yesterday I thought we'd be up this morning, leading into the weekend. Nice little rally again today, which I was kind of set up for. Now I'm not so happy. New tariffs on Mexico, of all places. Not sure why, but anyway, that's what they're talking about.
Because they have to stop people from Central America coming in.
Ah, okay. Nikkei down 341, 1.6%. Shanghai down 7.2%. Hang Seng down 213.8. Hey, why don't you hang on for a second, because I want to ask you a few questions about the Wayne interview. Oil down $1.20, 55.39. We thought we were going to 100. We're not going to 100. We're going back to 50, for God's sake. Brent down 185, 65 bucks. I don't know what happened to the crisis in Iran, somehow or another. And we've got our Bob down to 183. So I should be able to get a huge drink in a Suburban for well under $3 this weekend, Matty. Am I going to do that, or are they going to hang in there?
I think they'll hang in there for a while.
I think they might, too. Gold now up 1090, 1303. Silver unchanged, but at least it's not down. Copper down another 2 cents, 263. Matty, the bonds, talk about ouch. 10-year rate is, where are we? We're 2.18. So we're you know, way back down again there. The 10-year is way below the 6 month, which is like 2.3. So we have a yield curve that I won't say it's inverted, but it's got a big. It looks like a smiley face. The 30-year goes back up to the middle. It definitely is inverted. Matty, what do you got for us? Travy Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Big story of the morning continues to take place on the tri-state. It's closed now as they continue that cleanup involving two semis southbound between Ogden and the Hinsdale Oasis due to a crash that involved two semis, one carrying fertilizer. So there's hazmat suits and cleanup going on with this big crash that happened a couple of hours ago. Traffic is being detoured off at Ogden. The Hinsdale Oasis is being used as a staging area and is now closed. It was open earlier. It's now closed. And the Tri-State did have a couple of lanes getting by during our last report, but it's now completely closed on the southbound side. It's affecting northbound traffic on the Tri-State as well due to the gapers. So Tri-State is a complete mess, and you'll want to avoid I-294 if at all possible. out in the western suburbs. No issues coming in on the Ryan, I-57 or the Bishop Ford. Traffic starting to build steadily on the Stevenson and Eisenhower. Same for the Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Edens looks good. Lakeshore Drive good in both directions, as are I-355 and the rest of the suburban tollways. Off the expressways, we have a couple of accidents. 59th Street at Cottage Grove Avenue, there's a fire that's causing some closures. 67th at Cicero, there is a crash. And it looks like now Ontario Street, westbound at McClure Court on the in the Gold Coast, there was a pedestrian that was hit by a car that just happened about half an hour ago. So that has crews on the scene there. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, we warm
up. Everything else, you just named like every road in the city is blocked.
Well, not blocked, but traffic is usually pretty good on Friday
morning. So maybe all the people who take the tri-state should come downtown through the interminable construction of the Burn Interchange.
That wouldn't be good for anyone.
No.
By the way, yeah, weather today, it's going to be nice to get into some good news. Lots of sunshine today. We'll warm up a bit, reach a high of 82 with a nice cool breeze. It'll feel good out there. Right now it's sunny and 64 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 98. Right now it is clear and 71. In sports, Cubs were off last night. They're at St. Louis tonight, 7:15 first pitch Central Time, Darvish versus Mikolas. White Sox continue to win. They've won four straight. They blew out the Indians last night 10-4. Diamondbacks lost a one-run affair to the Rockies 11-10. NBA basketball, game one of the NBA Finals was last night up in Toronto, and it was the Raptors taking down the Warriors 118-109. Toronto leads that series 1-0. And by the way, a slight correction. Last hour we were talking about Fred VanVleet, the star bench player for the Raptors. I said he was from the Chicago area. Close. He's actually from Rockford, but still, from the Illinois area, lightly recruited. His biggest recruiting offer came from Wichita State, where he went. Other than that, only Northern Illinois was of interest, and some other small schools. No interest from Illinois, no interest from Northwestern, no interest from Indiana or Wisconsin or Iowa or Michigan State or
even DePaul.
Purdue. Not even DePaul. And the guy ended up being an All-American and now playing in the NBA and contributing to a potential championship team.
Well, if nobody else likes him, you can't like him. You got to go with what everybody else thinks.
It's really something. Yep. And, you know, he was offered to play AAU for one of the big Chicago AAU programs, and he turned it down and decided that he was going to just play for his Rockford team with his friends, and they said that hurt his recruiting as well by doing that, which is
weird. Well, the AAU is more involved in this than I'd love to get to my friend Dave Murphy, who was the coach at California, where AAU even has a bigger footprint than here, because they're all over football out there too, to talk about
which they're not here. Here it's all pretty much basketball.
Oh, girls volleyball.
And yeah, no, there's clubs, there's club and AAU teams for every sport, but I'm saying the seedy stuff here, it's only basketball.
Right, it's
football is seedy in its own way, but it's not AAU.
But they, most of your skill positions, hey Jan, how are you?
Actually, we don't have John yet.
Okay, most of the skill positions, you know, well, obviously your wide receivers, your backs, they play in these 7-on-7 touch leagues all summer with the, that's, the quarterback gets 90 bazillion more reps there than he ever does in high school. So, I mean, those guys are very much part of the football
program.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
But I've never really seen that here, where your guy goes right from, right from high school, and his last game is in, you know, second week in November, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, he's in an indoor touch league where he's, you know, which you are in basketball or certainly girls volleyball.
Well, basketball, I mean, you're playing year-round, tournaments all over the country. The big-time guys, they get invited to all the elite camps and all that stuff that are sponsored by the shoe companies. Football, you don't hear about it as much around here, but now that I think about it, I'm sure in places, you know, I'm sure out in Naperville and you know, those big affluent suburbs, I bet they have all kinds of those specialty quarterback camps and stuff for the big five-star guys.
I'm going to say those guys will go to Kelly's camp at Notre Dame, or they'll do something like that.
Well, they'll definitely do that.
Yeah,
they're getting invited to Michigan and Notre Dame.
I don't
and
think
you're
invited. I think you're paying.
Well, you pay. You definitely pay, because anyone can go to those, but you're paying. But if you're a big time player, you don't have to pay. They're inviting you to come.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
They're begging you to come because I think they essentially get a free recruiting visit out of that if you attend their camp.
Well, what do we always kid about?
It doesn't count against you. Kevin might, if he's listening, might correct me on that, but I think that's true. If you go to the football camp at Michigan State or something, I don't think that counts as a recruiting trip.
Well, one of the guys who I've worked with at this investment advisor firm I've known forever, I think it's his nephew. He went to some camp at Notre Dame where he was, and I guess he likes to play football, but he's not big enough to be like a lineman or something. But well, and he's not fast enough. Whatever, he's a regular guy. He's not going to play for Notre Dame. But he goes to this camp, and somehow or another, he decides, well, smartly, he went to like a long snapper camp. And
I mean, that's the dream job,
yeah.
as a football parent. If you get your kid there, you literally can't hit them. When they snap the ball, they keep their head down. You can't touch them. They can play for 20 years. We saw Patrick Manley played forever.
Longest bear ever.
And all you don't have to be the huge fatso guy. You can just kind of be like 265 and be an accurate snapper, and you can play forever. Get a scholarship.
Well, he walks on to Notre Dame, and he makes the team.
Wow.
Because the evidently the guy they used last year is on extra points and everything, where you got to do way more blocking. The guy's a big linebacker type. And they didn't mind him there, but I guess he's somewhat slow. So this guy actually can move. So they figured out that the guy last year didn't make one tackle or assist on a tackle on any punt. So they said, you're faster than he is. Maybe we'll actually get a tackle out of you. So he was doing a long snapping in the spring game, I think.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I don't think he needs a scholarship or one. Anyway, personal income, up 0.5. This is April now, not May. Up 0.5% versus 0.3%. Personal spending up 0.3% instead of 0.2%. PC price indicator up 0.3%, which is a big nose up for that thing. Maddie, sort of an interesting concept in, well, what Wayne talking about. I mean, is it fair to say Wayne's not a big fan of Trump? But, you know, sometimes when you, as I've gotten to this new, I've not gotten to this new thing, but listening to the different people on the show coming from all kinds of different walks of life and different, I'm learning to, I think what Wayne misses, and you know he's not on, so I don't want to talk about him. But when he looks at a person and he says the guy's basically a pathological liar and does this and that, and he's mood swings of somebody, it's like something you have in back in the day, Henry VIII, for God's sake. And we all see that. I think what Wayne misses a little bit, and he probably doesn't miss it, but if you talk to people about that. It's almost like my reference to Eisenhower, and I'm never going to compare Eisenhower to Trump, but I don't think Wayne feels that, how should I put this? Virtually everybody in society, if you talk about, God, the guy lies like he's pathological. Virtually everybody you talk to, especially in the Chicago area, have never had a politician that's told them the truth on anything. I mean, maybe going back to Paul Douglas and, the Chuck Percys, those kinds of guys, probably yes. I mean, if you go back to those kinds of guys, even, I'm going to say Senator Paul Simon, but those guys are gone. I mean, there's people your age and 10 years older than you, they can look you right in the face and say, I've never had a politician not lie to me ever. So this guy's a little worse, so what? I mean, and it's really, it's a question of point of view. You know, you can say, policemen don't do anything. Every time I see them, they're in a Dunkin' Donuts or having a cup of coffee somewhere. Obviously, policemen do stuff. But if constantly, every time you see, people observe what they observe and they hear what they hear. And sometimes you just have to listen to what they heard or what they think they heard to understand where they're coming from. It's not up to you necessarily. You're not going to change their mind. It's not like, oh no, all those other guys that all lied to you, they weren't really lying to you. Yeah, they were. I mean, it's not, the person you're talking to is not a dummy. They're not somebody who says, there's not a whole lot of difference between the amount of lying Clinton, big Clinton or wife Clinton did in some people's minds than Trump. You and I think he's taking it to a new level, but on major things, like no taxes, no this, no that, no freezing this, no freezing that. Even in this town, the Ram father, when he ran the first time, I'm not going to raise taxes. Okay, he sliced it here. You promised your mother you weren't going to have Coke when she told you not to, and you went out and bought Pepsi. I mean, okay. I guess you didn't have the Coke. You got the Pepsi. But in any sense, okay, he didn't raise taxes his first term. He raised fees that if you added them all up, they were the equivalent of, what, a 45% tax increase. Okay, Ron, you got me this time. You snuck one by me. But people remember, and now you compare Ram to Trump on a daily basis. Does Ram, you know, wing off, what do they used to call them, whoppers like Trump does on an hourly basis? No. But on things you care about as a homeowner or a citizen, at the bottom line, at the end of the day, at the end of 4 years, Ram was every bit as much of a liar in things you care about than Trump. And what I'm saying is you can't get that out of people because, you know what, Maddie, it's true. Now, do I like him and what he's doing? And every day it's a different lie and an inconsistent lie. No, I mean, you know, I don't like that. But to think that the other people who feel the other thing don't have this history behind them, you're wrong there because they do. I mean, I think
what people would disagree with you on is the magnitude and the amount of lying.
By the way, I just said that. He's taking us to a new level, but.
I mean, just saying, because someone told a lie, or because someone told five lies, or because someone in more, I guess, political, when I think of politicians, I don't necessarily think of flat out liars, even though they are in a lot of cases, but definitely bending the truth, definitely not telling you the whole story, definitely only showing you part of the statistics, whatever. That's sort of the art of a politician, at least in our lifetimes, right? That's one thing, and it's bad, and it's annoying, and you're exactly right. They've all been doing that forever, both sides of the aisle, and they continue to do that. What he does is just different.
I think it's
a false equivalency to think it's the same.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, if you're a citizen, and you, by the way, you're getting to be a citizen.
I am a citizen.
It's not going to be too long before, you know, you own a place, you've got taxes. And even if, you know, you and Jill are making decent livings, you're struggling because, you know, for some reason this mortgage is pretty damn high, and by the way, these taxes go up every year. And you're gonna have a mayor or a president or somebody you vote for, because he says somehow he's gonna cut costs, or he's gonna find alternative means of revenue. And all of a sudden at the end of 2 years in office, he drops a 40% tax increase on you and Jill. I'm going to say that is a lie that sticks with you every time you write that check. And you're going to say, I don't really give a crap if the guy lies about doing some porn queen 15 years ago. Because I'm not writing a check for that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't
right,
like...
And I don't care about... I didn't care when Bill Clinton got oral sex from Monica Lewinsky, yeah. And I don't care that Trump banged a porn star. I don't care about that.
But I'm saying, in terms of lying, I know what I'm trying to say is that in most people's minds, their entire life, everything, the investments they've made based on some politician promising something, other things. I mean, I invested my whole life in an industry that I love. And I look at the industry and I see people that aren't here anymore because somebody got a hold of a politician, and people tomorrow will tell you how much they care about small businesses and competition. I look at my industry, the small businesses are dropping by the hour. And there is no competition. There's four people that send which has been okay for PTI, because we have the knowledge to still take people, I believe, and manage the terrain for them. And it makes us even more valuable, not less, as a survivor. Okay? So in the end of the day, I guess it's okay for us because we managed to reinvent ourselves two or three times and adapt to it. But it's still, everything they've ever said was a lie. I mean, the SEC people, they care about competition. No, they don't. I mean, everything I've seen in my lifetime, many of these people, everything people talked about, I mean, with the, now you saw this morning that the FCC cares about competition, yet they're going to let T-Mobile get together with Sprint. Now, this morning, the bomb on those guys is Amazon is rumored to want to buy the little piece they're cutting off of. Well, no, that's not what they expected when they got together. Now, you got to believe the people in the FCC have been paid off by these people forever. This is like a fart in church to them. Wait a minute. We're actually going to let in a new player? This is not what anybody wants. And I'm not a big fan of Bezos, but I'll tell you what. Just the threat of him going in there, if it keeps everybody's phone bill down $20, I'm all for it. mean, that's not what anybody wants. And yet, how many times people are going to run and say, I care about competition? You think there's any competition in the drug industry anymore? How about, but I'm saying, in terms of lying on real stuff, they've all lied to you basically on a weekly, monthly basis for as long as I've been alive. And stuff that really matters to people. Now, Trump, like you say, has taken it to a total new level. The guys know what the truth is. But it's, but in terms of things that people will say, look, the other people lied to me. I'm not defending the guy. I'm trying to understand how other people feel how they feel. I mean, somebody's going to say to you, Maddie, right to your face, look, people have been talking to me for 40 years about lowering my taxes. The first guy that ever did it was this guy. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. I mean,
Bob writes in on Twitter, don't overlook the chaos the president has created.
Bob knows that I'm on his side. Okay, I think he does. I'm just saying, when people say stuff to you, you have to understand why they're saying it. That's all I'm trying to say. And sometimes the other side isn't completely idiots. That the reason why they say what they're saying, I mean, I honestly believe my buddies, we had cookout the other night, Notre Dame, I said, the thing that I've learned on the show in the last 2 years, and I continue to try and evolve, I said, if you took the rightest of the right wingers in the room and the left of the left wingers in the room and got them together and told them, like, to shut the bleep up, and if you were to just take away their solutions, take away their attitudes, take away all that stuff for a second and say, what did you see that caused you to have this opinion? Shut the other person up and say, in a different room, what did you see to cause you to have this? What mess up in society did you see? I'm going to say both of them saw the same thing. They both know that somehow or another, the economy's not working. And for everybody. Now, on the Republican side, what they only know sometimes is this trickle-down theory and to somehow pour money into this group of people and it'll somehow all trickle down to people, which you and I, Maddie, know if it ever did work, it sure hasn't worked lately. Now, the other side's going to say, let's go through these social programs and do all this stuff, and you know what? We know that hasn't worked either. Okay? So let's both...
Some would say it has worked.
Where?
The GI Bill.
Yeah, that was 50 years ago.
We haven't done
ago.
Anything since. Why wouldn't it work again?
Well, because we've let the education get so expensive we can't afford it.
Well, that's true. But you can fix that.
I'm saying not every solution is wrong. My point is the problem is kind of the same. They're just going at it differently. You know what I'm saying? That's why when you look at an AOC and say she wants to do socialism here and the other thing and everybody hates her for it, I'm going to say, okay, what exactly did you see? And why do you think that this is the solution? By the way, I'm seeing the same problem you're seeing. I just think that maybe your solution is going to make things worse instead of better.
One solution is to protect the rich people. One solution is to try to protect the poor people.
But I'm saying there might actually be a third way.
It's as simple as that.
There might actually be a third way.
Which is?
I mean, somewhere sort of...
Protect the middle people? I'd be fine with that.
I think that maybe if we would put more competition into things... You'd find out that people are a little bit more regenerative than we think. We actually could get a middle class back if we don't figure out a way. We don't fire them all the time because we only have one or two firms.
The only way to get a middle class is to raise the poor. It's not to lower the rich.
I get that.
And we keep giving breaks to the rich people. All they're going to do is just create more poor people and get richer.
I'm with you on that.
Let's try something different. Let's try to elevate the poor people.
Well, I mean, but
that's
then,
how you create a middle class. Now, it seems simple to me.
But now you're talking about we have a new mayor in the city. Okay, and again, man, you and I think are on the same page that all these subjects are the same subject. Now we're talking about crime in Chicago. And I would love to see everybody live nice to people. It's not happening. Now, the guy who blew by me on the expressway the other night at 100 miles an hour, almost hit three cars, one on the shoulder, somehow got around everybody. I'm going to say, Maddie, the man should have his license suspended for many years. And if he's ever caught behind the wheel, he should be in a maximum security. The man has no business out there. I don't care how he got there. I don't care if his mama didn't like him. I don't care if he went to the wrong school. The man has no business behind the wheel. But we've reached that stage. And now yesterday I heard the new mayor talking about we have all these murders and everything. We're talking about people. And they happen to be mostly black in the city, but they're not black other places. And it's, it has nothing to do with race, but here it sort of is that way because the numbers are that way. Anybody, I don't care if his mother liked him, if he went to the wrong school. Anybody that shoots out of a moving car, doesn't care who he hits, you know what? I want him out of society for as long time as it's going to be. It could be forever. I mean, and we'll sort out how he got there and why his mother didn't like him afterwards.
I think everyone agrees with that.
No, they don't.
Well, but the point is fixing the problem is getting to that person before they're doing that. But
yes.
Yeah, but you're right.
At
once,
some point,
once they're doing that, I mean, they're doing that. They need to go to jail.
Yeah, I mean, and so it has to stop.
It has to stop, exactly. And the only way you can stop it is by fixing the kid that's 10 years old now.
In the long run.
Well, that's what we're trying to do,
yeah.
Right?
But, I mean, it needs to be fixed in the short run, too.
Well, in the short run, the only way you can stop the guy from shooting out the window is to put him in jail after he does it.
Or you know, maybe riddle the car with a machine gun, so at least that guy never does it again. I mean, I'm not necessarily pushing for that, but, you know, I mean, we need to come to some grips here. And I honestly believe we can solve a lot of this stuff. I still believe that. But we have to stop just fighting about it. We got to come to a solution. And you know what? We can't be afraid to have a solution that doesn't work.
AOC and Ted Cruz, two people on the opposite end of the spectrum.
They're both seeing the same thing.
They both agreed via Twitter that they're going to work on this clean bill to end Congress people leaving and becoming paid lobbyists.
They won't be able to use the gym anymore.
We'll see if it actually happens, but
won't be able to use the gym anymore. S&P futures now only down 28. We've come back again. This is all because of the president declaring a tariff on Mexico, really out of the blue. Dow futures down 244. Nasdaq futures 88. So we're not as bad as we were, but still awful. We'll talk about it on Monday.
You're still here. It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.